Okay, we continue the Rambam, the laws of Shemitah and Yovel, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Aleph, Chapter 2, Law 11. We've been talking about different laws about removing stones during the Shemitah year, where we're not as strict in that area as it is by putting fertilizer in the property, because you're not exactly enhancing the property per se, but you're just removing obstacles from on top of the property. So there's a few more of these issues of improving the land and things like that that he's going to discuss in Halacha Yud Aleph. Lo yamale adam gai afor, you can't fill in a ditch with earth, sand, in other words, to fill it up so it'll be flat and straight on the surface of the land. O yisak nenubah, for to smooth it over with sand. Mipnei shemesakens oretz, because that is clearly fixing up and repairing the ground, and the work on the ground is prohibited in a Shemitah year. Okay, so that's what you can't do to a hole in the ground. Aval osahu chayitz al pnei hagai. But what you can do is you can put a wall adjacent to that hole in the ground, so that will separate the hole in the ground from the rest of the field. Now, on one hand, it could be understood as a slight improvement to the land, because you don't want to have to work on the land where there's a big hole that you can get your plow stuck in there. And by putting the wall there, you're kind of separating that, and at least by separating the pitfalls, you're sort of indirectly improving the land, but it's not real improvement of the land per se. Therefore, you can put that wall over there, adjacent to the hall, and how far can he take this? And whatever he can stretch his arm out and reach to take these stones, and he's standing next to the edge of the hole, he could work on the wall, whatever he can reach, but whatever he can't take, unless he has to go into that hole, then he's not allowed to be involved in that building of the wall, because then it would look like he's going into the hole to repair the ground there, and people will misconstrue what he's doing over there. So that he's not allowed to take. But he could take any stone, no matter where it is, provided he does not have to go into that hole in the ground that he's next to. Okay, Halacha Yud Beis is going to be a little bit different than what we learned last week. Last week we were talking about you had a very large stone. So if you want to remove large stones, there was a whole bunch of qualifications that had to be done. And you're going to see in this halacha, it appears we're not so strict with how large the stones have to be, and it would appear to be a contradiction in the Rambam. But we're going to see it's not, because the earlier halachas that had stricter requirements is because it was dealing with not only you're picking up big stones, you're picking up small stones at the same time. So in order to do that, it had to be very big stones to make it very clear that you're doing it for the stones and not to fix the property. Here, you're not going to be taking any small stones. So now the requirement of how big the big stones have to be is not as strict, and since you're not taking any small stones, it becomes clear that you're removing the stones because you need the stones and you're not repairing the ground. Yud Beis, Avnei Kosef, stones of Kosef, literally shoulder stones. What does that mean? Vehem hanitolos beis gimel ala kosef. You can take two or three stones on your shoulder. So that's clearly not as heavy as the measurement we had last week, where it needs two people to carry a stone. Here, one guy can carry three stones, but they're still pretty big stones, because he can only carry two or three, not anymore. So mutar lahaviyam mikomokim, you can bring them from any place. Doesn't matter. Bein mistechaver, doesn't matter if it's from the friend's field. Take him out, baby. So there doesn't matter his own field, because people know you're only taking big stones. Since you're taking big stones, it's clear he's doing it for the stones. He's not doing it to repair the ground. Similarly, v'chein ha-kablon, and a builder, it's a big sign, Ace Construction Company, and big signs out there, and he's taking stones. So obviously, maybe mikol mokin, he could take from any place. And now it's more than this. Afilu avanim, we read the bracketed ones. Afilu avanim ketanas, even small stones, which we normally would be very concerned that the guy's doing it to improve the quality of the field. But it doesn't matter. Bei misada shekiva, doesn't matter if it's the field he's working on and building something on. Bei misada shelo kiva, doesn't matter if it's a field he's not building anything on. He could take any kinds of stone. Why? Because his profession is to build. So we know what his intentions are because that's what his profession is. And as a builder, he'll take any types of stones. So if you're in that profession, that is a leniency. Okay, now we're going to talk about walls between the Rishus HaRabim and the person's field, that adjacent to his field. Now, this is a little bit tricky halacha here in Yud Gimel. I'm not 100% clear of the distinctions. I can explain it, but the distinction is still not so clear. Pirtza shehi suga be'ofar. If you have a hole in a retaining wall, and it's, and the wall is, seems to be made out of sand. That's what it seems to be over here. So, and now the question is you want to make some repairs in the hole and this and that. Now it's going to be debatable what people are going to be thinking, what you're doing and why you're doing this. Because, you know, why do you necessarily have to fix up a wall? Unless maybe you're trying to hide something. Maybe you're planning on doing some planting inside the field, and people are going to think what's going on over here. So therefore, im eina machshelas harabim, if this wall in its, you know, not really perfect state, if it doesn't present a danger to people, in other words, the wall can stay there. There's no pressing need to protect people's lives. Then also leave nosa. You cannot reconstruct it, as we said, because the person will see that you are reconstructing the wall. They're going to figure he's closing it up because it's a hole. He doesn't want anything to get through, animals, whatever. And therefore, it must be because he's going to start planting. Why else does he care if the wall is fixed or not? Now, maybe he's not, but it will be marasign at least. People are going to think he's planting. However, but if it was a danger to people, it could collapse unless he fixes it up, then it becomes clear why he's doing it. Or if it wasn't really a hole made out of ground, but it was totally open to Shusarabim, and now he wants to build it, so it said there's no damage coming into his house, because there's two aspects here, we'll see in a minute. Mutzal knows you're allowed to build it. In other words, there's two aspects here. You could put up a wall to protect your land from being damaged. That you can always do. If your property is wide open to other people, people will walk through and just damage your property. We're not talking about crops now. Just going through your property, wear and tear on your property, it will damage the property. So something to ensure that property doesn't get damaged, you're allowed to do. But if you're putting up a wall, it's looking like you can put up a wall because you're going to be planting crops over there already. That's a different problem. So it seems that when it was totally open to the Rishus HaRabim, and now it's not just he's fixing up a hole, but he's trying, it seems more evident that he's trying to prevent damage, or if it could cause damage to others, then that clearly is allowed. Now, Yadalid is a little interesting. Oslo livnos godir bashvis bein sadeh listechaver. Now let's say there is no wall at all. Now the guy wants to build a wall on a Shemitah year between his field and his friend's field. So the question is, why in the world is he building a wall all of a sudden? They've been going on for a while without any wall. Now he's building a wall. So what are people going to think? He's putting up the wall because he's going to start, he's preparing for planting. That's what we're going to think. But because that's between him and another guy. But if he's building a wall between himself and the public thoroughfare, that is allowed. Because again, there it's the whole public thoroughfare he doesn't want going into his property. So again, that clearly he wants to protect his property as opposed to suspecting him that he is going to be planting. That's why it's between him and his other fellows next door. And how far can you dig? Umutar lahamik adasela. You can dig until the bedrock. Because you go that far, so when you're building that, it's clear you're not going to be doing any farming with that. Umotzi esa afar. Now, you're digging now. Now you got a whole pile of sand. What do you do with the pile of sand? Now, one of the methods of fertilization also is you put fresh sand on top of your property. On the field, that is also a type of fertilization. So let's figure, you're digging a wall. When you're making a wall, you got to dig first down into the ground to put bricks into the ground. So then you got a big pile of sand. Where are you going to put the pile of sand? You cannot put it into Rishus HaRabim because you're not allowed to dirty Rishus HaRabim. So where are you going to put the pile of sand? So you'd like to put it in your field. But wait a minute, it might look like You might be fertilizing your field. So when you're allowed to do this, so you take the sand, you can pile into your field, but how do you do it? If you recall last week, in the same way you make big piles of manure. Kederach kol ma'amidim zevel, just like when we permitted you to pile up manure, where he said there had to be no more than three piles, it had to be was it 150 core or something, kavim, it had to be a tremendous amount. So if you make it a big amount and not too many piles, that's clear you're doing it just for storage and you're not doing it for actual fertilization. Now, what if the guy needs to dig some kind of a cistern or some type of a water system within his property, and then he could be digging the ground for that? So, unless you're digging various types of wells or cisterns, whatever, in the Shemitah year, where that you're allowed to do, you're not improving the quality of the land, you're just providing a method for you to get water. So again, you're going to have a big pile of sand when you're digging up the ground. So verha efer besoch sadeu, you can pile it all up into your field. Kederach kalachofrim, just like all the people who dig when they do to dig things to put the whole year long. Again, if it's done in the right way, with the piles and all that, that would be a way that is permitted. Okay, we'll stop here because we just finished the parak, and we'll continue the next parak right afterwards. Okay, we're now beginning the third chapter of Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel. And now you have an interesting idea. Just like we know, there's a concept of Tosefes Shabbos, where there's a biblical requirement to bring in the Shabbos a few minutes before Shabbos. So guess what? There's a concept of Tosefes Shavis. The prohibitions of Shemitah start before Shemitah. And we'll see there's a biblical level of Tosefes Shavis, and then there's going to be a rabbinical level of Tosefes Shavis. I'm going to see when it applies and when it doesn't apply. And that's the focus of this entire chapter. Halacha Aleph. Avodas Haaretz, work on the earth, on the land, which is interesting. The Rambam is focusing on the earth as opposed to the trees. Well, you see there is prohibition of the trees as well, but the wording here he's choosing is Avodas Haaretz, work on the land. Bishana Shishis, in the sixth year, Shloishim Yoim Samach Lashvis, 30 days before the beginning of the seventh year. Now, we already learned in the beginning of the Rambam that biblically Shemitah starts on Rosh Hashanah. So now we're saying now, 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, the prohibitions of Shemitah begin. We're going to see not all prohibitions, but some of the prohibitions. And how is the prohibition, what is it based on? It's Asura Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. That's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So that's biblical, but it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So there's a Tosefes Shvis, 30 days before Shemitah. Why? Mipnei Shu Misakna L'Shvis. Because whatever you're doing 30 days before Shemitah, obviously, is going to improve the of what's going to happen in Shemitah. So therefore, the Torah prohibits that as well. Now here's a curiosity. Now you figure, this is a mitzvah in the land. Already discussed earlier, that really it depends on the majority of the Jews living in the land of Israel. We'll talk about it later in the Rambam. But now the Rambam throws in one more thing. This prohibition, the biblical prohibition of Tosefes Shvis, of adding on to prohibited activities a month before Shemitah, so that was only Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kaim, only when the Beis HaMikdash existed. Hu Shenesar Mipi HaShmua. That is what is Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai not allowed. So that's the Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai. When there is a Beis HaMikdash, you can't do the work of the land 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. That's the biblical level. Now we're going to have a rabbinic level was laid on top of that. The Gazru Chachamim, the rabbis decreed that in different types of fields, we're going to add on more than that, not just 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. Shaloyia Horshim Steha Ilon. You can't plow an orchard, a field of trees, Erev Shvis and Erev Shvis, Bismana Bingdash, Winera Beis Mingdash, El Hadatzeris. You can only plow until Shavuos. So now, not only 30 days before it's prohibited, but already from Shavuos onwards, you cannot plow a tree, a field that has trees in it. Ustei halavan, and a grain field, ad ha-Pesach. You can only work it until the Pesach before, so you're prohibiting it almost 6 months before it's not allowed. But that is that. But now, so this rabbinic thing, and for that matter, the biblical thing, though, ubizman she'ein migdash. But when there is no base on migdash, then mutorim. Then all the tosefos are waived. The halacha l'moshe mi'sinai is waived. The rabbinic edition is waived. It's all waived. Mutarim, bavodas aretz, work on the land. Ad Rosh Hashanah k'din Torah. Then we go back, and what he—that's just a little one. That's a little what do you call it? Could trick you because it says it's mutar until Rosh Chodesh, as the Torah law is. That's a little bit schwer because the Torah law really said 30 days before you couldn't. So it really, it's more, but he's saying, but it probably means it's the basic Torah law as opposed to the Tosefes of the Torah law. So again, to rehash, there is this concept of biblical Tosefes Shvis that has to happen. It's Halacha L'moshe mi'Sinai when there is a Beis HaMikdash, right? And that criteria would stop 30 days before. Then the rabbis added, depending on the nature of the field, if there was still a Beis HaMikdash, then if it was a tree field, a field of trees, it would be prohibited already from Shavuos. And if it was a grain field, it's already prohibited from Pesach. But now that there is no Beis HaMikdash, then all the Tosefos are gone and there's nothing to worry about. Okay, so now that's the general rule. Now he has to explain a lot of things. Because he said there's a difference between a Stei Ilon, a field with trees in it, versus a granary field. Now the question is, how many trees, and with what do you call it, concentration of trees, is it called a tree field? What if there's one tree in the field? Is that a tree field? Right? So how many trees at what concentration level? And now you gotta understand there's gonna be a lot of things to consider, because let's say it's not gonna be enough trees for it to be considered a tree field, but what about just enough area around the tree, just to deal with the tree? In other words, you got trees in a field, and once we say this rule, now remember, which one are we more lenient with? The tree field. It's one of the two. A field is going to be either called a grain field or a tree field. Right? There's only two types of fields that are there. Right? So, we'll say the default position is to be strict. We'll always assume, right, it's a grain field, assumption. And therefore things already are prohibited rabbinically from Pesach. Now, if you want to be able to keep working on that field till Shavuos, you better have enough criteria there to say that this is a tree field. Now, what if you don't have enough trees? There are trees, but not enough trees. So the default position goes back to being a granary field, and therefore the property cannot be worked on from Pesach. However, the individual trees itself in that area and very close just to the tree, that could very well go that you could work on it until Shavuos. Because it is the tree. The tree itself needs some certain things. So that's the general theme of how he's going to deal with all these issues over here. So now we have to define what is a Stei Ha'ilan. What is considered a tree field that you could work on it until Shavuos? Ezahi Stei Ha'ilan. What is a tree field as we mentioned before? Call, now here's the measurements. Shlosha ilanos, you have three trees and not less. You can have more, but a minimum of three trees. Lebeis saw, in an area of a beis saw, and we said a beis saw is 50 amas by 50 amas. So three trees in an area of 2,500 amas. Right, so 50 square amas, that's about 100 feet by 100 feet. Correct?
Yep.
So that's 100 times 100 is 10,000 square feet, right? Okay, so you have to have three trees in 10,000 square
feet. It's like 30 meters by 30 meters.
Whatever. Okay, so that would be enough. And now the entire field
30 yards
is called a tree field, and the whole field can be worked at until Shavuos. Okay, so the trees kind of schlep the field with them, because it's considered all a tree field, and therefore the whole, that's, you have to have that amount. Now, what kind of trees will allow this to be considered? Echad ilan srak, it doesn't matter if it's a non-fruit-bearing tree, ve'echad ilan machal, or if it is a fruit-bearing tree, ve'afilu hein shel shlosh anashim, even if it belongs to three separate owners, doesn't matter. It's not like we're looking at it as each tree is a different tree and a different owner and a different field and thus not three. No, as long as there's three trees, I don't care how many owners. Now, and also, we have to see it the following way. Rowing also, we have to see it, as it were, ki'ilu, no, I don't care what it was, but if this tree, the size of this tree, was haim to anim, if they were fig trees, okay, I don't know how they're able to do the following calculations that's coming, but these three trees, you'd have to look at them, even though they're not fig trees, but let's say this was a fig tree of such a size. And if they were fig trees, how much would they be producing?
They produce right? A lot.
Im reuim lasos kikar dvela. If, when you pluck all the figs off, you can make a pressed, dried out fig cakes. You know, those big, that's how they produce them. They dry them and they smash them together.
Make a big
cake, right? And if they yield all together, shel shishi mona, 60 mona, if you could make a fig cake from the three trees that equals 60 mana, which is approximately 60 pounds, okay, then that would be considered a tree field. And then horshin kol beisa bishvil. Now I can plow the entire beisa. The entire 2,500 square amas can be plowed because the trees need all that space, because the trees obviously need to nurture from that, so that's you have to have all that, and therefore you could work on that until Shavuos. Now, let me just finish one more line. But the trees cannot be so close together, because if the trees are very close together, what are you going to have to do if three trees or two trees are very close together for them to continue to grow? What are you going to have to do?
Cut one down.
You're going to have to cut one down. So if you cut one down, it's not like you have three trees. Even though right now you have three trees, but it's not going to be long-term three trees. So there's got to be a distance between the three trees. And what's the minimum distance between the three trees? There has to be enough distance between each tree that the cattle, the what do you call it, the ox, with all the plowing utensils can go in between the trees, which is arba amas, four amas, approximately 8 feet. If you have 8 feet, that's enough space that the ox takes with all the plowing implements. That's the space it has. So this becomes the definition of a state ilon. Three trees, any kind of tree, and if we take that tree and project it as a fig tree, and knowing a fig tree of those sizes would produce 60 pounds of a pressed fig cake, and the three trees are at least four amas apart from each other, then the entire field is called a tree field, and now you can plow the entire field. Yes.
So could a clever farmer plant
a who?
A clever farmer plant some fruit trees a few years before.
Doesn't have to be fruit trees. Doesn't
any
have to be
tree, any field, but they'd have to be big. You know, I don't know how long it would take for a tree to grow, three trees to grow, to produce 60 pounds of figs. So I don't know if you could be that smart. I don't know if that tactic could work. I just don't know if in that time within
two shmitz a year.
First of all, the first 3 years you can't get anything.
Right.
So
okay,
so I don't
years.
Know
14 years.
I don't know how long, so I don't know if it would work. Theoretically
14 years. I would say 14 years it would take.
Yeah. So okay.
So plant it just after the shmita.
Right, so now this is what you have, that now so such a field you could work on until Shavuos. Gimel. Now, what if hayapachas mishloshel beisa? What if there are three, less than three, in this beisa area? Osha. Now, it's all prorated, so you could have, let's say, a field of two beisas. Then you'd have to have six trees. I mean, it all works prorated on this measurement. Okay. So, what if you have less than three trees for every beisa? Osha yashloisha. Let's say you have three, and let's even go further than that. And one of them could make 60 pounds of the fig cake, or yes, even more, or even, but the two other two can't put nothing. They produce zero. Or let's say two trees, each one can produce 100, or maybe together 100, I'm not exactly sure, but they're producing a tremendous amount, the two. But one doesn't produce anything. Then ain chorshim lahem. You cannot elulot sorghum. Now you cannot consider the entire field to be a tree field. And therefore, what can you do? You can't plow them until Shavuos. You got to stop by Pesach. But what you can do is litzor kum. But you can do what needs to be done for each tree, which we're going to define in 1 minute. See, once you have less than that amount, we don't have a leniency for the whole field anymore. The whole field now is not considered a tree field. But you do, let's say, have 2 trees. And those 2 trees before Shemitah have to be taken care of. So now we'll just allow you to work on the field only next to the trees to help those 2 trees. Those trees you could work on until Shavuos. The rest of the field is not considered a tree field anymore. But the 2 trees you could work just enough space you need to be able to work on the field. Now what is that just enough space? That's the next line the Rambam is going to say. Vehu, and then what is that? Melo ha'ore v'salo chutzalo. That is the radius around the tree where the ora is the guy who's plucking the figs. So imagine like this. Imagine a tree. Okay, imagine your mind like it's a tree. A guy stretching out his arm to pluck a fig off the tree. He's got a basket in his hand. Okay, and he's going and that as you see, I'm diagramming for you. That would kind of be the space. Because you have to give space, that's the area, that's the tree's area that it needs, and your radius, because he has to go all the way around, and other commentators say it's about a 2 amas radius, which is a very generous radius. It's about 6 to 8 feet. So it comes out, even if you only have 2 trees, and that will not make the tree be considered a tree field for you to be able to work on that field until Shavuos. You'd have to stop by Pesach, but for those 2 trees, the 2 amma radius around the trees, that you could work until when? Until Shavuos. Okay? Now, that's if you have three trees, or so Silver discussed 3 trees, less than 3 trees.
So that's okay. This is the less than 3 trees.
Less than 3. Now, Dalet, Hoya Mishlosh Vatisha, what do you got from 3 to 9? Okay? Ureuim Laso Shishimona, and with these, and at least 3 of them, can make the 60 pounds of the fig cake.
Each one?
No, together. Korshin Kobesho, so you can plow the whole field for them. Even though some won't be able to produce at all. Let's say I've got 10 trees, 7 produce 0. But 3 of them produce the 60 pounds. Then I'm okay. The extra aren't going to hurt because I already have the aquarium I want. So you're going to say, what's the chiddush, right? The answer is there is no chiddush. He's setting us up for the next halacha.
So let's go back.
It's the interim halacha that's leading up to halacha hey, which is going to be the chiddush. But this is obvious. If 3 trees that produce 60 pounds, the whole field's considered. So what's going to hurt if I have more trees that aren't producing? You already got the minimum.
So if we look here, it doesn't even have to be a fig tree. It could be any tree.
And it doesn't yes, have to any be a tree fruit. Doesn't have to be a fig tree.
It doesn't have to be a fruit-bearing tree.
It could be 3 trees that if they were fig trees and they would produce 60 pounds of fig cake, then it's considered a tree field.
So at least each one at least has to produce something.
Three
at
of
its
them.
Size. No, no. But
three
one,
of them.
Well, one could produce 60 or 59, and the other can produce half each, and that would be 60.
I guess so. But three have to produce.
But each one has to be producing something.
Yes, you have to have 3 that are producing, that between the 3 you have 60. The Rambam has not said how much they have to have between the
right.
3. So you could have, yeah, you're
right. Well, he's already said, he says one does 100, which is way over 60.
But the problem is nothing else was doing.
But the third one wasn't doing anything.
Right, so you have to have 3. But really, it's not a chiddush, because once I have the 3, what's it hurt me if I have another 7 that aren't producing? But that is what he's saying. Now let's just take it just one step further. We're not even going to do the whole halacha, because really, hey, is like 2 separate halachas within it. What if hayu asar ilanos l'toch beis oyos? What do you have 10 trees or more in this area? Right? Bain osim, bain ain osim. It doesn't matter if they produce 60 pounds of could produce, or they don't produce. Doesn't matter. Chorshin kol beisa bishvilon. You can plow the entire field because of them until Shavuos.
Right.
Which means to say, once you have more than 10 trees, you don't have to produce anything. Now that's an interesting halacha. So that, so to summarize.
10 or more, he says. 10 or more.
Hayu asara. Yes, you're right. 10 or more. Thank you, thank you. Good. So again, so if you have 3 trees that produce, and each tree is doing something contribute to a total of 60 pounds, then the entire field is considered that. If you've got less than 3, or you have 3, but one of the 3 is not producing at all, then you can't work on the whole field only until Pesach, but just the 2 amma radius around, you can work on those trees. Once you have 3 that produce the 60, even if I go up to 9, no change in the halacha of that status of that field at all. Once I hit 10 or more, I don't need any production at all, and that's considered
fine. So that's Mark's answer to your question. That answers your question. The smart farmer that has little trees.
If he has 3 trees that...
No, 10. He has 10 trees that don't produce anything.
That's right.
That's
very
the answer
good.
To Mark's
very
question.
Now, excellent, excellent. So Mark, you have 10 trees. Okay. Now, the next words of the Rambam, even though it's an halacha hay, is a separate halacha. So we can stop in the middle of hay because it's mamish a separate halacha. Shkoyach, guys.